Jeremiah Chapman offering feedback to Shannon Ledford. Shannon, I think one thing that just stands out is that you're very bold, and that you have deep spiritual insight and everything. And I think that's something to be very, very commended for and everything. And everything. So it's been great getting to know you and hear your story, and some of it I think we pried out of you a little bit, but you told us, you know, after we just had to ask a little bit. So I really see a lot of where the enemy has opposed you, you know, obviously with the violence at home growing up, different things, I guess, you know, growing up that you experienced. And I think that you have suppressed a lot of that. And I think some of it has been healed, but some of it I think has been suppressed, mm-hmm. and needs to be dealt with as well. And obviously, you know, I think hearing your story, how you came to Christ, and how you engaged, and even though you were doing things that were outside of the box as far as, you know, what you should be doing as a Christian, you still held on to your faith through all that and everything. So you and I definitely got that in common, you know, because you knew where to turn to. In the middle of that, you knew what was right, and everything was able to go back in that. So, you know, I think God's hand was guiding you and guiding you back into that. You know, some other areas that I feel that you're opposed in, definitely is your story with your wife and everything that happened there. You know, and I don't know. I wasn't there for the full journey, the full story, and everything like that. But I just from hearing you talk, I would think, I think there's still some more there that needs to be dealt with, and not necessarily forgiveness, but definitely healing. And so, some things healing, so that you can move forward. Mm-hmm. You know. And so because. You know, after being in a committed relationship for 12 years and then having something like that happen, you know, I couldn't help but see there's, you know, walls and boundaries. There's a place in your heart that you need to be sharing with another woman, that you guys need to connect. Mm-hmm. And unless those walls were to come down, then it's never, you might have a relationship, you might be married and stuff like that, but you're not going to have what's supposed to be, if that makes sense.
I guess the biggest thing is being able to trust somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you've got, listen, you've got every reason in the world not to trust anybody. Listening to your story makes me not want to trust anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and everything, but we're going to have to move on. Past that, you know, one of the things that Heart of a Warrior this year for me was making those agreements that I can, or breaking those agreements that I couldn't trust someone, and everything. And I think maybe that would help you is to understand God does have the right woman out there, and you can trust her. You can trust her with your life. You can trust her with everything. You can never. You could go away to Africa on a missions trip for 6 months, and you wouldn't have one doubt in your mind that she was faithful to you. I believe that, and I think you need to believe that, too, and everything. Because I really feel that that's where a lot of this loneliness that we talked about, the abandonment. I really think that's where a lot of that comes from, and everything, and. And I would like to, I mean, you know, you hear God's voice, you hear the Spirit of the Lord and everything like that. And I want you just to be cautious. You know, mm-hmm. when you're engaging with a woman, whether you're dating her, courting her, starting to get serious, make sure if you hear something, make sure that it's God's voice, and make sure it's not fear mm-hmm. or doubt creeping up in you. I deal with this myself. I know, man. You know, it's one of those things. I'm just like, I'm with you, brother. I get. My wife hasn't done this to me, but mm-hmm. just because of anxiety and other issues, I have a hard time trusting people and yeah. And everything. But you know, it's there's some things that you need. Okay, you have, and I hope this doesn't all come off too negative, because I feel like I'm dealing more with some other things, and hopefully we'll deal with more positive here and there. But you know, if you were to come to me and say, I haven't ate anything in 6 months, you know, and I would be like, what are you crazy, Shannon? You've got to eat. Mm-hmm. Your body needs nutrition. It needs, you know, you can't just keep on going out and doing God's work and not eating food. Mm-hmm. Your heart needs things. Mm-hmm. Your heart needs not just love. I mean, it needs that, but it needs that companionship. Your heart needs friendships of men that can sit in a room and you guys talk like this. Yeah, we definitely going to go through seasons of loneliness and despair, and we'll have some of those things. Lord willing, those things will be short. But right now, I think you need that companionship. I think you need those friends. I think you need that relaxation. You know, whatever that looks like, whatever it is for you. I know you like mm-hmm. hunting, you know, and so it might be some guys to go hunting with. And, you know, and maybe, yeah, you can talk about the Lord, you can talk stuff like that, but at the same time, there's a time just to be friends, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a time just to really let God speak some things to your heart through relationships, through your hobbies, through those things, because just like you would need food and you need nutrition, your heart also needs those things and that community.
Well, what happened is, you know, after me and my wife split up, I just lost heart. And I used to be, a big-time cyclist, you know, deer hunt, mm-hmm. you know, go to Kentucky deer hunting and bluegrass festivals, and ride ATVs all the time. And when we split up, I just lost heart for all of it.
Yeah.
You know, my floor just sits there, and I don't do anything to feed me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like fear come on me, like, how was I going to make it? And you know, then, you know, she had me bound up where I, you know, was taking the kids to school and picking them up, so I didn't have much time to work. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't start really making money, you know, generating money until I got away from her.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, demasculating me.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, not trying to put her down. It's just mm-hmm. she was doing things for her benefit, mm-hmm. you know, using me for a stepping stone. Not that I regret taking care of my kids at all. I don't, you know. I wouldn't take nothing for the time there. But yeah, that's exactly what happened is I quit doing the things I like to do.
Mm-hmm. There's a quote, and I'm sure I'm butchering it, but I believe it's something like this, and it's supposed to be Abraham Lincoln that said this. Said, if I've got 5 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend 3 of those hours sharpening my axe. And so how much better could you be at ministry? How much better could you be at being a dad, eventually being a husband, being a lover? Mm-hmm. How much better could you be if those needs were being met in your life mm-hmm. and your heart was taken care of? The danger for us, especially for us in ministry, and this is something God's had to show me over the last couple of years, to the point where I was out of seminary for because of this very reason. I felt like maybe that was the reason God had me out for a little bit. because I had to go find some things that fed my heart. The danger for us in ministry is we feel like we're being worldly. We feel like we're being attached to this world when we go to handle things that, you know, to enjoy a ball game or something like that. And that's not always the case. And so you've got to be able to understand that God speaks to us, you know, through different things. Through, for me, it's movies, you know, and it may not be for you because you, if you don't like movies, you don't like movies.
It's not that I don't like them. It's just I don't watch them by myself.
Yeah. So, and so movies, music, things like that for me. And so it very well might be, it might be in a deer stand for you. It might be on your four-wheeler.
I did make myself go to Kentucky this year to go deer hunting. It's the first time I've been in about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So God's probably already working on that. So, but man, I just think, I think you've got a lot to offer the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think you've got a lot to offer the kingdom. And I think you've got to be able to, I think you need to let some other men in. And I think you also got to, you know, get to a place of some healing, so that you can love again.
Well, I do have, you know, Tom and David, and I meet with them Monday mornings and, and Wednesday. Yeah. And, you know, I meet with the guys from the Anglican Church, and I can't even say the word.
Yeah.
And so I do have
well, good, but,
you know, I'm very selective, you know, who I let in because, you know, you know, I want them to be speaking from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Not that I believe atheists could give me a word. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe God can use whoever He wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're dead on.
Okay. This is Scott Backer giving feedback for Shannon. Wow, I concur. you know, I feel like you have just an incredible gift of being able to feel the Spirit, like in your veins. You have a direct line in a sense, and I kind of think maybe you've opened it up to where it's a fire hose now of that, in compensation for things with the healing. And to me, that's like a normal behavior. That's what I do. but going through, you know, collecting these wounds with family upbringing, cancer is one, two, and then your wife, you know, it's really crushing to go through that. And I believe you are being opposed, and Satan has you kind of hogtied. You know, and you know, allowing people to get in to see your glory when you don't trust anyone anymore is very difficult. You know, you seem to be very skeptical of people's motives if they're just going to talk to you in general, you know. So, I'm grateful for having gotten to know you and hear some of your things. And that probably wouldn't happen if it weren't made to happen, in a sense. And that's part of what, like, Jeremiah was talking about is to lean into what God wants in the sense of other people and you know, other people's stories and companionship and brotherhood and fellowship. You know, your buddies asked you to come up here, right? So they know. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping that you can make a leap and get better. And then your glory will just really shine. It'll just be amazing. You know. So I'm going down the list here, some of the things it says, what picture primarily depicts you on what you had. I remember the majestic with the elk, you know, and so you're kind of like, you're alone, but you're near the top of the food chain in a sense. And when you said Jeremiah Johnson, I'm like, well, that's that elk. It's the same thing, man. You are on a journey for God, but you're also self-sufficient. But I kind of remember that in that movie, he needed help along the way. He almost died. And he just pushed and pushed and pushed to almost to where he was just going to explode. And I think of the book Moby Dick. You know, he's poured his heart out. And you're kind of like, I feel like you're doing that with God and prophecy, and you're just pushing so hard. And it's a little futile for you in a sense. It's unhealthy, you know. But you know, and you know, so you're really pouring your heart and soul for others, and you just, it's okay to spend some time on yourself too. I mean, just what you're saying, sharpening yourself, and you'll enjoy it more. I think you'll enjoy being with people and sharing your glory more.
I do that, not because it's short, I didn't mean that.
That's all right.
Sometimes I just quit going for church for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, when you said you quit cycling, I've been there. I've been unhealthy within here, and I just didn't have the energy. And I just kind of go through that, and I'm like, it's my mood. Yeah. And then I go out and cycle, and go, oh, God, what a beautiful day. The sound of the wind and the wheels and the tire on the road. And yeah, you know, I mean, you've been there. It's just like, this is awesome, you know? I think in this particular part of your journey, it's when you had kind of talked about dating or seeing some other women, and then it just didn't work, and now you're talking about patience. Like, you can't seem to get where you feel like God wants you to go. I think he has you right where he wants you here tonight to say it's time for you to heal. And that's what I heard when I prayed. And I love you.
This is Mark Vilbert giving feedback for Shannon. You know, as I was reflecting back on your life story, the very first thing you said was, I was self-taught. And then synthesizing the rest of that story, I jotted down, you weren't raised. You were self-taught. And that's kind of sad. Children are meant to be raised. And that's, you know, your mom and dad fighting all the time. That was a hard row. Right, the absence of the father, you know, that leaped out at me. Also, the betrayal of your wife. You had mentioned your mother-in-law turned on you, and even more significantly, when you got testicular cancer, I wrote down the quote you said, God had singled you out to die.
I thought that.
Right. So that, you know, just that accumulation of betrayal.
Actually, the cancer was before I found out about my wife.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't matter.
Yeah, you were not a chronological thinker. It is what it is.
It took him 2 minutes to get to where he was. Here.
Go back. But the cool part of that story, which I circled, was you saw God's hand in everything.
Yeah.
You know, and they say hindsight is 20/20. You got to be on the other side of the story to see it. When we're in it, you know, to see again that redemptive hand of God in it. And I think that's a theme for all of us, that God bless the broken road that led you straight to him too. Your pictures, power, order, vision, mission. There's two things that I caught that I didn't comment on before. The picture of the cow. You said, I wrote down the quote, cows know their owners but are afraid of strangers. And it hit me as I was praying, that's a word for you. You're a cow. You know? But in a good way. Jesus said, my sheep know me. They know my voice. You know? Sheep are the same way. I saw a thing recently where they had these kids out in the field trying to call the sheep. The sheep ignored them, and a farmer came out and he called to them. They came running.
He called them in the fog and they shipped.
Right. So that was sort of popped out to me. Cows know their owners but are afraid of strangers. But that fear, I sense some of that fear of strangers in you, you know? And we're not made for fear. The other thing that I wrote down is loner, that word loner. And as I was reflecting back on your pictures, you don't have them up here, but as I was thinking about your pictures, every one of those animals was alone. Mm-hmm. Every image you had was someone alone. Both the strong ones and the weak ones. To me, that was significant.
Jesus spent a long time alone, dude.
Yeah. And even when he was with thousands of people, he needed time alone. But he came back off the mountain.
And then he grabbed 12 people.
Yeah.
And they had a small group.
And I think that, again, even the movie, Jeremiah Johnson, alone in the woods, you know, trying to make it on his own.
I have so many movies to watch after that. I got to take a picture of all him.
Other words that, though, came to my mind and heart for you, Holy Spirit, over and over and over. The leading of the Holy Spirit is such a powerful word in your life. The helping, the guiding, you know, you guiding others as the Spirit guides you. Feeding and clothing the poor. And I wrote down the poor in spirit, too. You know, not just the physical poor, but your heart.
The what spirit?
Poor in spirit.
Yeah.
Not just physically poor. Your heart for the poor in spirit. So I put, yeah, loner, lone wolf, lone animals. That sort of leaped out at me. The other thing was this. The Holy Spirit, I see the word that came to me is your heart for abiding in Jesus. You know, I and the Father are one. That's the sense I hear when I hear you talk. That you don't want to do, just like Jesus said, I don't want to say, I only say what the Father tells me to say.
Yeah.
That heart for being one with God, abiding with God, that's like pours out of you. what could be holding you back? I think loss leads to grief. Grief is, you know, like a ball of emotions that if it's not dealt with, festers. The loss of your wife's relationship, how it's really pulled some of you away from your kids. It's not like you have the normal life. And the analogy I thought of is, have you ever been on an airplane? When they close the door, the first thing the flight attendant says, if we lose cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will descend from the ceiling. Put on your own oxygen mask first before you assist others around you. And that whole thing, just like they're saying, you know, making sure self-care, spiritual
yeah.
self-care, which obviously you're really connected to God, but if we don't have our own oxygen mask on, we're going to be sucking wind. I sensed sort of your introversion, being an introvert. But I thought of, and I think I shared with somebody that even the short answers you've given, that still waters run deep, you know?
Yeah.
You're a deep person. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say a lot, but what you have to say, you've really thought about. You're genuine, but also guarded. And when it says, what do I think God's up to? I don't know what. I don't know how. But one thing I'm certain of is that you have faith in God, His plan, and His timing. And it will reveal itself. That's all I got.